Welcome to the Heart of Herbs Herbal School podcast, where we explore the fascinating world of herbal medicine and natural healing. I'm your host, Demetria Clark, and I'm thrilled to be your guide on this journey of discovery. At Heart of Herbs Herbal School, we're passionate about empowering individuals to harness the power of plants for health and wellness. Through our podcast, we'll dive into topics ranging from herbal materia medicas, clinical herbalism, sharing insights, interviews, tips, and wisdom to inspire and educate our listeners. Hi, this is Demetria Clark, and welcome to the new Heart of Herbs Herbal School podcast. So, technically, this is episode one, but it's being recorded after the first few episodes were recorded. And the reason why I did that is I wanted to get my toes wet a little bit before I started with our origin story. I tend to be a little bit on the shyer side. So when I go to events and stuff, people often think I'm a snob or standoffish. And so I've been working on that a lot. And so what I'm trying to do is to work in a way that works for me to introduce all that I do and everything that I want to do with this podcast slowly. Like, I want to make sure I'm comfortable, and I want to make sure that when you get to know me more, you're actually really getting to know me and not someone who's afraid. Does that make sense? So this is what I'm going to be talking about today, is a little bit about the origin story of Heart of Herbs and how it all came to be. And if you've heard me in any interviews or anything over the years, or you've read any of my books or been a student of mine, you know that I have definitely lived what many people would call an interesting life. Now, I think everyone has an interesting life, even if they never leave the block that they were born on. I don't think that one person's experiences are better than another's or anything like that. I know that I've had a weird life, and I know that I've done weird things. So that's something that you're going to be learning about me a little bit more. And then I think what it'll do, if you're a student, it'll help you really understand like how we really came to be, how we set things up, and why we're different than some of the other institutions out there. And that's really because of my experiences and my personality. So I've never been like the kind of, I'm not the cool herbalist, right? I love like looking at people's like social media posts and stuff about like how awesome and herbally they are. And I'm like, I always just feel like the frump of the herbal world. Like, I don't really get into like any, I'm just like me. I'm just 100% me. I'm super practical, which has very low sex appeal. As far as like advertising and marketing, I'm just like super, super practical. I'm not, you know, I'm just not like that. So saying that, I thought, well, there's a lot more people who are like me than how social media portrays people, right? There's a lot more people who are struggling with things, even if you're doing like all the right things and you're eating well and you're moving and you're using herbs and you're taking care of your body and you're getting enough time in sunshine and all this stuff, you can still be struggling with things. And so I wanted to maybe share with people that that's okay, and that's a practical and beautiful place to be. So that's what I hope to do with this podcast, is maybe show how herbalism is really truly for everyone. It isn't just for a certain kind of people or a certain demographic. It's really for everybody. And so I think by sharing some of what I've done in my career and in my life, I can help people really connect more with herbs in a different way. Not like I'm some kind of herbal, you know, messiah or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not, you know, I've never been good with crowds. I've never been good with like lots of like different things that maybe some people with really large followings have. I'm just different. So I think by me finally sharing my difference, it'll help a lot more people feel connected to the work that they're doing when they feel like, hey, I don't really fit in with the norm or what I think the norm is, or I don't act like these people or dress like these people. Because sometimes when we're looking at things like social media, all we see, and the internet, like all we see is what is put out there, right? We don't necessarily see the stuff behind the veil. And so I'm going to show you what's behind closed doors and what is different about the way I practice herbalism than maybe some other people and the way they practice herbalism. So the first thing I'll share is the common question I get asked all the time. It's one of the first things I'm always asked when I'm interviewed is, how did you get into herbs? So I really feel like herbalism chose me and aromatherapy chose me by the way that my life developed around me. I didn't actually ever like go out and seek herbalism. It was just always part of the world I grew up in. I lived in Alaska, in North Carolina, in Alabama, in New Hampshire, in Oregon. I traveled to pretty much every continental state in the United States before I was 15 years old. I've been to many, many, many countries, and I feel like because of that, I'm always thrust into the path of herbs. You know, being out in the desert, oh wow, what's this? And learning about that, and being a child and playing in the redwoods, and then being in Alaska and living on an island off the coast of Alaska in a very diverse population, in a very non-diverse population. Like, so we were a Coast Guard family living in a population of Alaskans. And so we were different in, you know, an homogenous kind of way. And we all were different in our own way. And so those influences really early on, like just being at someone's house, being really little and being like, why does that smell different? Like, what is that that you're cooking? And they were from Puerto Rico and I was born in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. So like those are different like smells, different worlds colliding when you're very young. And I've always been the kind of person that, especially when I was younger, I just would ask so many questions and I would talk to so many different people. I just wanted to do that. And so being around people from different parts of the country and different parts of the world constantly as a child was so helpful. When I was little and when we lived in Alabama, we would go to, you know, different gatherings with friends and family friends and friends of friends. And, you know, there were all these different kinds of people, different kinds of events, right? And, you know, I would be talking to someone and asking questions about how they were cooking something. So a lot of it had to do with like the different ways people cooked because people would use herbs in their cooking. And that was kind of like the first way. And as I got older, I would just be drawn to plants and so I went to a Catholic school. So we would have to, you know, carpool in the morning. And then when we came home at a different time than the other kids in the areas that we lived in. So we didn't always make lots of friends with the people who lived near us because we went to different schools. We had different activities. We didn't always mesh really well. And we were always the new kids. We were always the transplants. And so I would spend a lot of time outside. You know, you see all those Gen X things like your parents didn't need to know where you were, just come home when the streetlights came on. Well, basically it was like, you know, when the sun sets, it's time to run home because it's going to be dinner time soon. So we were always out in the woods. We were always building forts. We were always digging holes and, you know, building structures. That I had a friend whose parents owned an essential oil and herbal distributing company. They were our next door neighbor. She went to a private school, a Waldorf school. So we both had weird hours and it made it easier for us to hang out. So I would always ask her mother questions. We'd always be in the gardens. We'd always be in the yard and there's all these herbs around. And I thought like her mother was like the coolest person in the world. She was like an artist. She was into herbs. She'd be outside weeding with like a big hat on. And like, you know, she just like was cool. I just thought, wow, this is a really cool life. This very, very corporatized in some ways type of herbalism. They were at the time one of the largest distributors in the country. And so they were distributing to all of the herbal companies that were in the U.S. at the time, which weren't a lot. This is the 80s and the 90s. So I had like all these really formative experiences. And then as a child, to some things in my life, I really started developing migraines. And so I learned like what herbs to chew. And this was a really like organic process. I just like was drawn to something. It was really stupid. I mean, don't get me wrong. And it helped. And so I talk about that a little bit in one of my books. You know, it's just like this thing that happens in children and young people can naturally have an affinity for herbs. And maybe a few hundred years ago, I would have been, you know, apprenticing with a midwife as a child or an herbalist or, you know, working at an apothecary as a shop girl. I mean, there are lots of different things, but those things didn't necessarily exist in the same way in my early lifetime. So I was really influenced by the people I came into contact with and then the people that ended up living around me at different periods of my life. When I was 12 years old, I went to a school that also had a small farm, elaborate gardens, and the garden that I designed in high school was the garden that was there until the school eventually closed. And then I lived at a commune for a while with people who were really into herbs and midwifery. So that's where a lot of my really early formative education came on, because essentially I didn't really live at home after the age 12, 13. That didn't mean I didn't go home and visit or anything like that. I just, with families blending and me, I got myself into a boarding school and got a scholarship. Like, so I really didn't come home a lot. And then I eventually left home permanently when I was about 16 and a half years old. I hitchhiked to California. And that's like a whole other thing. But I also came into contact with a lot of people who were into more alternative health things because my mother worked at a health food store off and on. I had friends who were into it. People in where the different places that I lived were into it. And then like, you know, when I was following the Grateful Dead with a man who became my husband, who is my husband to this day, like if we got sick, it wasn't like we had money for medicine. So it was like, what's in that field over there? What's at this campground? You know, and a lot of these things, you know, I'd have a few little books that I carried around with me and they became part of my early formative education in herbs. Because even though I would study with people when I lived, you know, when I lived at the commune and when I lived at the Quaker school, there were people there who were into that and would allow me to study some of that with my education. I definitely learned a lot from just being with the herbs and finding out what was going on with the person that I was with. You know, I made some cough syrup when I was following the dead and sold it in the parking lot, and eventually there was a student of mine who had bought it something from me like years ago. So that was really great, you know, making that kind of full circle connection. And then my husband joined the military, and the military actually was a great environment for me to, one, learn in, and to, they had asked me a family services thing. Oh, will you give a few talks on a few things? So they really helped me expand it further. And then when I was pregnant with my first child, I decided I was going to do some kind of herbal company. I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know how it was going to take place, but I was like, I'm going to start by learning how to make soap because I already know how to make salves. I already make, you know, I didn't know how to make soap. So I'm going to make soap. And before the batch of soap was sold, I had already sold the whole batch to a health food store. And it was like an initial, I think it was $38, $35 on the supplies. And I sold it for like $99. So I was like getting like $3 a bar or something like that. And I was really, really excited and I was on my way. So that's kind of like how things started for me. I was very lucky to have people in my life who were really positive influences. And I think a lot of herbalists will say that it wasn't like one day they said, oh, I'm going to go study herbs. It was very much like things just happened and brought them in. They realized they were really into cooking with a lot of herbs. So I train like lots of chefs who want to do like more medicinal food. I train lots of nurses and doctors who have patients who come in with herbs and they need to know more. I train lots of doulas and birth workers and midwives because they want to be able to help people in the different phases of their life. I train lots of different people in lots of different ways, and they all come to herbs because herbs came to them. So I don't think there's lots of people out there who are like, hey, I woke up this morning and I'm like, I've never had an interest in anything that grows from the ground before, and today I'm going to be studying and I want to become an herbalist. That's what I want to do with my life. I think it's often a natural kind of progression from the way that their life is and their life unfolds. So all of those influences and initial steps along the way, and I've really condensed it down because it is kind of like a crazy story. But, you know, I've kind of condensed it down because like this is a podcast. We don't have like 60 hours. And honestly, this isn't that exciting. But I feel like it's really good to let people say like, hey, yeah, like I understand that. That's where I came from. Or I met someone in my church who made this and I was like, wow, this is great. What is this about? Or, I met a farmer who grows herbs or, you know, there's all different kinds of things that people do that bring them into the herbal world. So people will be like, well, what inspired you to start your own business? And money. I needed money. I was back in college. I was pregnant. We made very little money. My husband was in the military. I wanted to buy food. I mean, it was really that simple. Like we just needed money to get by. We needed money to invest in our family's health and development. And that's what started it for me. It wasn't, I want to go save the world or I want to be this person or whatever. It was really, really just, I was like, this has to become a viable job because I'm pregnant and I'm going to have children that are going to need me as their mother to have like their own source of income. I always joke that they told women my age that we could have it all. They just forgot to tell us we had to do it all. And so I wanted to try to have some kind of balance with being able to be with my children and run my own business. And so I did that for years. And the business went from, you know, the initial batches of soap to really, you know, we had people distributing our products. We had products all over the country in small shops and stores, and we private labeled for a lot of other companies like herbal companies and skincare companies. We would private label. We did lots and lots of different things. And I decided that I really wanted to also teach. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to teach. I have a pretty successful business. And then the teaching started going really well. I was
having a great time. I could structure my life around it a little bit more easier than having a manufacturing business. Now, manufacturing, if I had stayed in it, I would have made a lot more money. And I knew that at the time. I knew that when the time came when I had to choose between teaching in manufacturing, that I was going to make a lot more money manufacturing. But I couldn't, for myself, find a way for that to work with where my life was at the time. Does that make sense? Like, I really didn't want, I didn't want to give up what I had with my kids. I got to be with them. I mean, yeah, their mom worked too much when they were little. I mean, like, but I get to see them every day. And I really, really wanted to change our family and our intergenerational family dynamics. So for me, I really wanted my children to be raised differently than I was raised. And so when you're making moves like that, it's a lot of work. I don't think we give a lot of people credit and really, you know, pat people on the back enough when they're making big moves like that. Because it's hard when people are trying to change things. Now, of course, sometimes you change some stuff and you just screw it all up and it goes nuts o' bananas. But I think, like, it's good for us to just acknowledge that whenever we're trying to change and remove different traumas from the next generation, that that's a lot of work. And fortunately, I have a few things, few times in my life where I've had like clarity about things. And I felt like this was going to be the best move for our family. So the skincare company, the herbal medicine company, was transferred to two students, and I gave them all of my recipes and I told them to have at it. I was going to teach full time, which was super, super scary. I did not sell the business. I actually gave it away because I didn't want to be responsible for their success or failure. Now I know that was probably silly, but I just felt like it was the last thing I could do. Does that, you know, like I just felt like I could maybe by not saddling these two people with debt, that their business could actually thrive and flourish a little bit easier. So I decided to run the school in 1998. We had been online since 96, and one way or another, it was probably the best decision I ever made, even though it made me have to be out in the world in a way that I wasn't ready for. I'm not great at conferences, and I'm not great at large herbal events. I had a few like formative experiences early on that really made it hard for me to go back into those arenas. One was the weekend after 9/11. There was a conference, and we had family in New York that I was dreadfully worried about who lived in that area. I couldn't get in touch with them because obviously all the cell lines and the telephone lines were jammed. And so I went and did my presentation, and then I was like, I'm going home. And they were like, I think your energy would be better spent here with us. And I just couldn't do it. I knew my kids were worried. I knew my husband was worried. I was only 3 hours from home. I opted to head back home early. And I think that kind of messed things up for me a little bit that way. I felt like I could have handled it better. I could have talked to them a little bit more. I just was so raw and so full of grief and fear that I didn't always walk the line well. And then I think in other, you know, I did live overseas for a few years, so I would come and teach at a few things and then fly back to Europe. And I think that was great. I have a hard time in groups, so I'm not always great that way, but I am working on it. Our students have always asked for me to do more of that. So the podcast is one of the ways that I'm trying to work on that, because I really want to be able to share more. I get nervous when I'm at large events. A lot of the other herbal teachers out there, they don't actually know me because I am shy and I am a little bit more withdrawn. So I think sometimes there's more mythology or thoughts about who I am as a person than actual experiences with me. And I'm not saying that people, think negatively or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, so I do want to work on that because I do think that, you know, as we do more collaborations with other education providers, that maybe it would be good if people actually knew a little bit more of the core of me, because I am a little bit different than the average. You know, I think that now that the herbal world has really expanded a lot, I'm finding like, yeah, I'm probably not as different as I thought I was all this time. So that is kind of like our origin story. My origin story was really simple. I just wanted to be able to feed my children. And so I remember being at an event once and being like, hey, you know, this is one of the ones that maybe scared me a little bit. I actually stood up and said something about equitable waging and sustainable income. And this was like in 2000 or 99 or 2001, something like that. And I really got a lot of grief for it. I was told and, you know, hey, that's not cool. You know, we're here to give all of our skills away and all this different stuff. And I couldn't do that because, like, literally I can't feed my kids with your good intentions. And so I became a little bit different like that. And it's cool because I see now that the herbal industry and practitioners have grown and that shifted. And like a lot of people are talking now about business and sustainability, and they're offering mentorship programs like the one that we have, and, you know, providing their students with business information, which is something like that I had always done from the beginning, because not all of our students are interested in running a business. Like, so some people are not interested in that at all. But for the ones who are, I felt like it was always really good if we could give them something else, right? So that's one of the reasons too, like, I feel like maybe now's a good time because I'm not going to be such an odd duck in the room. And maybe I haven't, you know, wouldn't have been the past 10 years. It's just, hey, you know, life gets in the way. We ended up moving a lot more than we thought we were going to. And, you know, I really feel like now my kids are in a good place. They're grown and I can focus on some of the different changes that I want to dynamically integrate into my life. So one of the first steps is this that I'm doing with you all right here. So one of the reasons why I love running the school, and then I'll let you go, is that I love getting to know my students. I love the connection that I feel when I watch someone, even from a distance, grow and expand and change their business. I feel like often we don't get to see people's end game, you know? And I like that. I feel like I get to see that with people. I get to see them develop. And I love that so many of our students like keep me along for the ride. They really keep in contact, or they share, or they'll tag me in something even years later to just say, hey, I'm doing it. You said I could. I figured it out. You know, and it isn't so much about me doing a good job. I mean, hey, I love to see that I did something that works. I mean, who doesn't, right? But I love it when people find that beauty and passion and power in themselves to pivot and take the next step and make the next move. And I love it. And like, it isn't just people running herbal shops or having companies or products here or product. It isn't just that. It's also the people who transform like acres of land to do protected herbal species, or work with farming grants or the extension service, or integrate, you know, different herbal things into their social work practice or their therapy sessions or, you know, their spa. It's just, There is no place where you can't find an outlet for herbalism. It could be a lawyer helping herbalists write contracts, and you could work for a company that does labeling for businesses. I mean, there's so many different things out there that you can touch, or herbalism can touch, right? And so that's the things that excite me, the things that make me feel connected to our herbal world at large, because I am someone who doesn't go out. I'm like an extrovert with my students and then like an introvert in my life. And so it's funny because I am learning that I can be a little bit more out there, and that's okay. But I can also, without being out there, find the joy and the beauty in the things that our students are doing. And we've been working with students for so long. Some of them have had their businesses for 10 or 15 years now, or they're on a TV show getting interviewed, or they're writing their own books. And it's really exciting and amazing. And so I think that's the thing that I love the most about my job. So hopefully you'll listen to other episodes in the podcast. We're going to talk about all different kinds of things. Sometimes it's just going to be me. Sometimes it's going to be like almost like a lesson, right? And then other times, hopefully, we're going to be interviewing some really cool and dynamic people that are in this industry, but other industries too. Like, I don't think that we only have to talk to herbalists and aromatherapists and flower essence practitioners and, you know, other kinds of health people to give value to what we're doing in the herbal world. So I have some ideas of like some really just different kinds of people to talk to. People that can maybe help you with your websites. People that can maybe help you with labeling your products. You know, just different kinds of avenues that are out there that are all part of this great big world that can turn around and come in further and still be connected to herbalism. So my email is demetria@demetria.com. Our website is heartofherbs.com. If you have an idea for a podcast, if you want us to talk to you, if you have something of value that you think our listeners and our students would love to hear, please contact me. I'm inviting you to do that. I have so many interests in my life that are herbal connected, but also ones that aren't, that pretty much I'm pretty easy to get excited because I love learning things. I'm always learning new things in my life. If you're into, you know, if you want to share your favorite thing about canning or kayaking or anything like that, I think that there's always that we can connect with each other and learn more about this great big world that we live in. So thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day. Interested in enrolling or learning more about herbalism? Visit heartofherbs.com and enroll using coupon code podcast to save 20%.